This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Happy Groundhog's Day. It's the Doug and Danny Show, February 2nd of 2015. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. The day after the Super Bowl, it can't be any quicker than this. February 1st, that's as quick as you can get the Super Bowl.
Yes, it is.
So there you go. What'd you think?
Well, pretty good game, really. Very competitive. It was some Super Bowls, we've had some blowouts, and by the middle of the third quarter, you had the winner already determined, and that definitely wasn't the case here.
Best of all time?
Oh, it was very entertaining for me. I'll tell you what was really interesting, Doug, is there's so many prop bets. Mm-hmm. So many prop bets. There was a bet, Doug, about turnovers was 2.5 in the game. So no matter what bet you had, I mean, whether you had New England or Seattle to win the game, or whether you had that prop bet of interceptions thrown in a game, you know what was really interesting? The one that was amazing, was, and I had this prop bet, I took both teams under on penalties. And so I had New England's penalties under 6.5, and Seattle's were under 7.5. Well, it looked like that was an automatic win because they only had 5 each. And they throw the interception, and on the first play, they get their 6th penalty for jumping off sides.
Oh, no.
And then I don't know how many penalty flags they were going to call on them, but this is very critical. But that play, when they went in there and got into the fight, and everybody was, I was going, uh-oh, this could really be bad. If he gives me 2 unsportsmanlikes, I lose. You know, so, you know, a lot of times the game's over and you don't care. And I was really, this was really a most important.
So if they would have had offsetting, that would have been no penalty, right?
Well, if they'd have had 2 penalties unsportsmanlike on the same, we got number 51 and number 76.
I'm just saying, if they would have had thrown one on each offset, then that wouldn't have counted.
Yeah, that's right.
That wouldn't have hurt you.
But it did hurt anyway.
But your play of the week hit, right? Your play of the Super Bowl,
yeah, it did.
Russell Wilson, 12.5. He had one run over 12, right?
I think so. He had the 15-yard run. He had 39 yards in 3 carries, so whatever that adds up to be. Then 3 carries, he had 39 positive yards. So that's a very – if the 15, 12, and 12 does add it up to 39, I think it does. So I think he had a 12, a 12, and a 15. Isn't that something?
Well, he got sacked a couple of times, though, too.
Yeah, I don't – so I'm not –
Minus two each time.
Who knows? Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, well, lucky we hit that one. So that was the one we gave out. Yeah.
The whole story today is about that last play. And here's what I said last night when we were watching the game. I'll say it again today. And again – for all those, and I'm sure there were a lot of people, as we say, they may only invest in one sporting event a year, and it's the Super Bowl, or maybe two, maybe they make a little wager on the Kentucky Derby. But I'm sure you will view the game differently, depending if you had a wager on the game yesterday and were on one side or the other. But I thought it was, you know what, if the play works, then we're not talking about it today. That's how all this goes down. Yeah, you could have ran the ball. There's a lot of questions out there, though, right now. Why didn't New England call a timeout? There's 51 seconds left. Wouldn't you be trying to call timeouts or let them score, as a lot of people said, and it looked like Lynch was going to get. I mean, let's face it, he's at the half-yard line on the play before. This goes back to, damn, how lucky is New England all the time? Everything worked out for them as best as it could. I mean, let's face it, Jimmy. If that miraculous catch 2 plays before doesn't happen, we're not in this situation. we're not in this situation. And maybe there's just so many things that have to click in the right way. I don't have a problem with the pass. Yeah, it's really bad if you're a Seattle fan and it got picked off. Who says Marshawn? Maybe Marshawn Lynch fumbles the ball. Maybe you try to go quick. So the play's called, and there was a nice play by New England.
Well, the thing of it is, there was another play that was called with 6 seconds to go in the first half. They threw a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And
I loved it.
Yeah, and you know what? What they could have done is just kicked the field goal and said, hey, you know what? Hey, this could get a little risky. I don't want to get called out on how come you didn't kick the field goal then, because this could cost you the game. Because with 6 seconds to go, you may not get that playoff. In fact, if he doesn't catch it and stop the clock immediately, you know, if he taps that in midair, you know, and it goes about 20 feet in the air and then drops, we probably don't have enough time for another play. Mm-hmm. So that was a risk-taking call by a coach that made a great call because it worked for his team, and now the score's 14-14 instead of 14-10. So, you know, then that guy throws a pass. So I'm like you. I don't want to second guess. I think the thing you can second guess, though, Russell Wilson had a really good game because he had zero interceptions. Now, he only threw the ball 21 times. You know, he threw it, I think, 21 times and zero interceptions. And he probably, with that play, and it's probably smelled out pretty good, that would have been a good time not to force it in there. If he had to do it over again, maybe. Because the play's called. If it's wide open, throw it. If it's not, throw it out of bounds. You know, or take it and say, hey, you know what, we got another play. I'm just going to throw this thing in row 17 right now, and let's move on. So that maybe. But quarterbacks have to make decisions all the time, and Tom Brady didn't make all of them correct either. He had an interception in the first drive. I mean, who was he throwing that ball to? So, you know, those guys. But he threw it 50-some times, and he only had two interceptions.
Yeah, MVP, and you look at it, and a lot of things pointed to maybe New England should have won this game a little bit by a larger margin. But I threw it out last night. I'll throw it out today. Email us. Give us a buzz. Tweet us. Whatever you'd like to do. Was this the greatest Super Bowl ever? To have that, you've got to have drama. You've got to have comebacks. You've got to have leads. You have to lead and be behind. You have to have a rally. You have to have a memorable play. Obviously, the tackle in the Rams-Titans game, we still remember, tackle at the one-yard line. This will live for as long as we do. The interception at the one-yard line that denies Seattle back-to-back, and then you have a chance at somebody for the first time winning three in a row next year. I think this will derail Seattle. Maybe they make the playoffs next year, but they've got a lot of contract things to take over, and it's just all that goes along with it. We'll see how it goes, but was it the greatest Super Bowl ever? It had everything. New England gets up. Seattle comes back. They make a couple of cool plays. New England hangs in there. They're the dynasty. They've been around for 15 years. They've got Belichick and Brady, and then a bunch of guys you never heard of. You got Richard Sherman on the other side. You got Seattle. I'm not saying it is, but it's definitely right there. And I got some comments on the Facebook page last night. You can send us a Facebook message if you want at ESPN Superstation. The Twitter address at ESPN 1460 1550. And of course, the Dent Popper inbox for all your emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPN Superstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPN Superstation.com. And of course, you can always call the Carney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. And this comes from John in Carney, who fires this off. Interesting stat is that Lynch had 5 runs this year from the 1 yard line and no touchdowns. Just saying, Doug, you could have wrote better commercials than what was aired. We'll get to commercials later.
That's an interesting stat that guy.
Turpin got it a couple of times. You know, they brought in the backup or used somebody else. So
yeah, that's exactly right. You know, here's another thing, too, is when you're a coach and you're making plays and you're making calls and you're making decisions and things don't go right, I thought he did a good job with the media talking to them and said, hey, this is the situation. It was my fault. I'll take the blame. I thought we had the right play called. This is what we did. I mean, it wasn't like a guess, like, hey, you know, I was going to try to fool them here. He wasn't trying to fool anybody. He just said, hey, this is what they're giving us. Maybe this will be wide open. Even, I don't know if you knew this, but they said that the player that made the interception, Doug, give me his name, would you? Can you help the player that made the interception? But anyway, he said that he got burned on that during practice. practice. They ran that same play in practice.
And Malcolm Butler, by the way.
Yeah, Malcolm Butler, and he said, they ran that same play in practice, and I got burned on it. And Bill Belichick said, hey, you got to step in front of that. You know, that was what he said afterwards. But, you know, when Alabama played Auburn last year, and they tried the long field goal, and the guy ran it back 109 yards for the touchdown, those are the things that happen to coaches when things don't work. And you get beat on something like that. So, yeah, that was one of those deals where it just happened. The call wasn't made. But like I said, I kind of blame Russell Wilson for that. The play's not that wide open. Just throw it away. Know the situation. You've got all kinds of time not to throw that ball. You have to get some other downs to do it.
Some of the other Super Bowls that I guess come to mind, this is better than the Giants-Patriots. With the catch on the head, David Tyree, this is better than that one. The Ravens 49ers just a couple of years ago was an outstanding one, 34-31, but that was such a big comeback that the Niners would have had like the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. What else did we have in here?
I had the 35-31 game with Cincinnati and San Francisco. I don't even know what year that was, but that was a tremendous game. I think it was 35-31, Doug, and they were both really not in there.
No.
What was the score?
No, 20-16.
20-16.
John Taylor made the catch at 34 seconds left.
Four-point game, way off on the score.
Yeah,
four-point game.
That was a good football game. Way back, if you want to go way back, the 35-31 Pittsburgh over Dallas in Super Bowl 13, maybe the best of that first 20 years in there. Pittsburgh and Dallas had some battles, and Jackie Harris? Was it Harris, the tight end that dropped the ball for the Cowboys in the end zone that they show over and over and over?
Because the first two Super Bowls when Green Bay won were not very good games. And then when the Jets finally won the third Super Bowl, that was a big historic event because at the time the NFC was so much better than the AFC, they didn't even know if this game should be played. I mean, it was so dominant by the Green Bay Packers winning the first two Super Bowls that there was thoughts of, hey, you know what, this is really just kind of a token game. Is this really worth playing this thing?
And one of the deals, one of the games that also gets brought up is Super Bowl 25, where Buffalo and Scott Norwood misses the field goal. The Giants win 20-19. The United States going to the Gulf, all that's coming in, Whitney Houston singing the national anthem, all the things that went around it, and then you had a tight football game. So that's brought up in there because it had been a long, long time, very few close games for – that was kind of brought the end to all the blowouts.
I agree. And you're right. And, Doug, the other thing, too, you have two cities in New York playing in that. It was Buffalo and New York. Is that what it was? Was it Buffalo and New York? Is that who played in that game, or who was that?
Giants and Bills.
So you've got a rivalry kind of game there too. So
those are a few of them. Give us your thoughts as well. We'll take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac GMC. We understand that every driver wants to shop for a car differently. So Midway invites you to explore their new car and used car inventories in Kearney. You can do it online or in person. Maybe take a look at their new car showroom. If you're not looking to buy new, they're sure to have a used car in Kearney that's a perfect match for you. Choose from their large selection of gently owned cars, trucks, SUVs, vans, crossovers, and more. Their inventory listings are complete with photos, pricing, and specs. Whatever you prefer, just know their expert staff is renowned in and around central Nebraska for their ability to listen to drivers' needs and help them find just the right car and services to suit their lifestyle. Check it out at thinkmidway.com or stop by South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Mike Babcock from Hale Varsity as Mick Tinglehoff and Will Shields get into the Hall of Fame. We'll talk with him about that. Huskers have now a commit class of 20. And we'll also talk with Bailey Moores. She went to Silver Lake and Sandy Creek High Schools, and now she's the all-time leading scorer at Concordia, and they picked up two more wins over the weekend. We'll talk with her later on in the program. Back after this.
It's been a long day. It's cold outside, and your car is on E. Okay, I'll go to Fast Fills, because when I walk in, I know that I will be greeted with a fresh brewed tea or coffee and a smile. A good joke and sometimes a bad one, but the point is they remember their customers and treat them like friends. So all of a sudden, filling up is something you look forward to. Fast Fills Plaza, your Senex station, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Senex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armor Coating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armor Coating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
It's the most unique high school basketball event in the state. The Heartland Hoops Classic, February 14th, showcasing 12 schools, 6 games, beginning at 11 a.m. in the comfort of the Heartland Event Center. Your ticket is good for the entire day. See Amherst, Ravenna, St. Cecilia, BDS,
Omaha Scott, Norfolk Catholic,
Aurora, GICC,
Elkhorn, South Columbus,
SCOTUS, Oakville Academy, Omaha South. Buy tickets at the Heartland Event Center box office or log on to Ticketmaster.com.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska.
Dan Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Because of the weather out there, the Lou Platt Conference basketball tournament games tonight have been moved back. So the play-in games will be tomorrow. All of the quarterfinals will be on Wednesday, and then they'll be back on schedule for Thursday, Friday. So you'll see three games in 3 days for some of these. It'll be a postseason type deal. Twin Valley has also postponed their quarterfinals for tonight, so everybody will play tomorrow night. Some of those are twin sites. So at Blue Hill, the boys will play Lawrence Nelson, and the girls will play Franklin. Those games will be at 6 and 7:30. And let me just double check. The boys will be early because the boys are supposed to play tonight. So those boys' games will be the early games. At Silver Lake, the boys will play Red Cloud at 6, and then the girls will play Harvard. At Deschler, the boys will play Shelton at 6, and the girls will play Red Cloud at 7:30. And then at Nelson, Lawrence Nelson will play Kennesaw girls at 7. And at Kennesaw, the boys will play Harvard at 7 o'clock. And that's all tomorrow. So Twin Valley and Lou Platt push back. Fort Kearney, as of now, still going to try and get the girls' quarterfinal games in tonight. And that is the latest that we have heard. So let's go to the phone lines. And Mike Babcock is standing by from Hale Varsity. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Morning. This is good. Basketball tournament time. I always enjoy this. I'd go out and just watch teams I don't have any connection to if I had the time.
Mike, you probably saw some of these great tournament games at the York City Auditorium when it was considered new.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, in fact, my wife and I had talked about going up and watching the Crossroads Conference tournament last week, but I was busy. Just so we could go into the City Auditorium again, but Crossroads Conference, not quite what it was when I remember it. So,
yeah, a little different. There's you know, the Mudicus down there, and I know you've seen some of those games. So, yeah, it's our time in this part of the country. Centennial was in Lincoln this weekend. Boy, that boys' tournament did not disappoint, and we'll probably chat about that a little later. But let's jump into some football. What did you think of the Super Bowl last night?
Well, I thought it was interesting that an excellent coach can make a decision that people are going to question for a long time. I guess right there at the end, after you get the great catch by Curse, you know, the tremendous focus there or whatever, and you're in a position to score a touchdown. I think running the ball with Marshawn Lynch, and you decide to throw a pass and it's intercepted. I mean, I was befuddled by that whole thing, but I'm not getting paid the big bucks to make those decisions. I'm sure Pete Carroll had, you know, he explained it afterward and made sense to him.
Well, the National Letter of Intent signing day is coming up on Wednesday, and the Huskers had a good weekend there. But wanted to definitely talk about Mick Tinglehoff and Will Shields jumping into the Hall of Fame, which I think is a little bit of a surprise that both get in the same year. So it'll be cool that there'll be a lot of maybe Nebraska fans that can go to Canton on August the 8th and see the enshrinement. We're fired up about Mick, of course, getting in on the Veterans Committee and being just down the road in Lexington. And and way more fans are probably familiar with Will Shields, who kind of the prognosticators thought would be on the outside again, getting in, probably just missed the cut, but maybe he just made the cut. Maybe he's the last guy in. Your thoughts when you heard that both were getting in?
Well, you know, I was surprised that both got in, and I would put a footnote to that. If either of those guys or both had played for the New York Giants, for example, they'd have been in a long time ago, I think. I mean, a part of it's the teams that they played for. You know, Mick Tinglehoff, Minnesota Vikings, wasn't drafted. Gosh, he started, 240 consecutive NFL games. I mean, the guy had a remarkable NFL career, 17 seasons, and it should have been in a long time ago. But again, if he'd played for the New York Giants, he probably would have been in, but the Vikings, not so much. Kind of the same way with Will Shields. The Chiefs, little less cachet there. But obviously, I think both clearly deserved it. So I was gratified. Particularly Tinglehoff, because I think I felt like Will Shields was going to get in. It was only a matter of time. But Tinglehoff, even when I was at the newspaper a long time ago, I remember writing columns saying that he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. A remarkable player. And an interesting letter of intent signing day coming. You know, his senior class, Nebraska took three players from Lexington the year that Tinglehoff was a senior. Dallas Dyer, Monty Kiffin, and Mick Tinglehoff. And Monty had some injury problems and wasn't able to start with Dyer and Tinglehoff. So they only played 1 year together, I think in 61, because Monty had to delay his enrollment for a couple of years. He had some back issues. But, man, what a senior class that was at Lexington High School.
Yeah, you know, that Southwest Conference with players from Holdridge, Broken Bow, Kent McLuhan, you know, that whole group, Lexington, they had a lot of players that played for the University of Nebraska at that time during that, you know, 60s and early 70s. You're exactly right. My comment is this, and your thoughts again, you made a good comment about, I agree totally about what teams they played for. How about the position they played? Also, you know, being offensive linemen. You know, Mick Tinglehoff and Will Shields, I think it's tougher to get in the NFL Hall of Fame if you play that position. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the offensive line, those guys get overlooked. And I was just looking yesterday, after I heard the news, I looked online. I came across some Fox Sports website, and it broke down the induction class. And it didn't even have anything about Tinglehoff. It said others inducted. Mick Tinglehoff and Bill Pullian, who was a front office guy or whatever. You know, what kind of respect is that? How much trouble would it have been to look up what the guy accomplished? But because he was because it was a time, you know, a different time when he played or whatever, and because he was an offensive lineman and because he played for the Minnesota Vikings, others inducted. Okay, great. He's the only other player to be inducted in that class, and they didn't even bother to have a couple of sentences about his career. I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, they don't know how to use Google.
I guess not. I mean, how hard is it?
They didn't employ anybody over the age of 40 either. Mike Babcock's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from Hale Varsity, talking a little Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they'll probably be overshadowed. You've got Junior Seau going in. You've got Tim Brown. You've got Charles Haley, who's won 5 Super Bowls. You've got Jerome Bettis. Most people my age or younger, that's what they associate with. But Mick on that senior committee had kind of almost given up hope. I know we talked with him. I think it was a couple of years ago here on the show. He picked up another award, and he was on the senior committee for that in the Minnesota Vikings. But six-time Pro Bowl selection, 5-time first-team All-Pro, the true Iron Man for Minnesota, played in those 4 Super Bowls. Do you think not winning a Super Bowl might have hurt his speed-upity into this Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, I don't know. They got the 4 Super Bowls. I think that's an accomplishment. And you know, that's the thing that always gets me a little bit. You know, the statement, he didn't win a Super Bowl. Well, last I looked, there's 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense. You got all the special teams guys. One guy doesn't do it, but he certainly is one of the factors in the offensive line when you start 240 consecutive games and you get into four Super Bowls. I think that's a pretty good accomplishment for an offensive lineman. Whether the team wins a Super Bowl or not, I think is a, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that didn't win Super Bowls. There probably are a lot of players in the NFL or in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that didn't get the four Super Bowls. So, yeah, I don't think that should be a factor. The fact that the Vikings didn't win any of those Super Bowls seems to be a secondary consideration to me.
Will Shields also now in the college and the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and both of them happened here very recently for him. He was pretty much at the top of his game. Both sides, it's easy to say, yes, they're going to be better as a pro, but I think as good as Shields was in college, there are very few guys that can be as good at the college game as they were at the pro game and vice versa.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think a measure of how good Will Shields was, when the NCAA reinstated freshman eligibility, and what year was that, 73, I think, or 72, somewhere in there. Since that reinstatement of freshman eligibility, Nebraska had only had one other offensive lineman that played enough to earn a letter as a true freshman in the offensive line. That was Jake Young, and so Will Shields was the second. That was pretty impressive. He lettered as a true freshman in the offensive line at Nebraska. Never happened. Guys came in, they typically redshirted. You know, the maturity level was really important in those lines. But Will Shields had the opportunity and the ability to do that right away. So I thought that was pretty impressive. We've got kind of a ring to the past here. Nebraska has a commitment from Jalen Barnett from Lawton, Oklahoma. That's where Will Shields came from. So, you know, hopefully history will repeat itself. Nebraska will have another one of those offensive linemen. But Will Shields was a remarkable player. He was also the last guy that ran the fumble rooski before the NCAA ruled it ineligible, so he could pick up the ball and run with it.
I did not know that.
I did not. I remember a lot of guys carrying that ball, but that's a good – yeah, and that was a great comment about Oklahoma. At that time, Oklahoma players were starting to stay in Oklahoma for sure, and Nebraska players were starting to stay in Nebraska, and there'd be some exchanges every once in a while, but he was the one – Will Shields was the one that finally went that way. You know, when you're back on Mick Tinglehoff, you remember when Fran Tarkington used to run and scramble and scramble and scramble all over the place, and I remember Mick never gave up on a play because of him. He would be running right with him and picking up blocks left and right. Do you remember those games at all?
He was just an outstanding player. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was, you know, I'd watch the Vikings, and I always had kind of a Nebraska slant to it. You know, if they had a Nebraska guy on there, that always made it a little bit more special for me. And certainly Mick Tinglehoff was a reason to pay attention to the Vikings. I don't think I would have had much interest in the Vikings otherwise, but yeah, Mick Tinglehoff was the guy. And again, he was a captain at Nebraska in 61 on Bill Jennings' final team. And he was just a great player.
A couple minutes left here with Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity. Of course, you can hear him every week between 4 and 6. Hail Varsity makes an appearance there with Chris and the boys. I want to just get a quick thought. I know you're not the recruiting guy, but that was a pretty big weekend for Nebraska. You get four guys on the final weekend to commit, and not a whole lot of fans know a lot about these guys. Can you give us any insight here, Mike, about this big weekend for Coach Riley and the staff?
You know, I'm a bad one for insight on recruiting because I'm in that category of bring them here and let them produce, and then, you know, and then we'll see how it is. I mean, that's the thing. You put a lot of pressure on these kids, first of all. You start assigning how many stars they have and the expectations that they have, and I think a good example of that is the guy that just finished off for the Huskers, Amir Abdullah. I don't remember. He was probably a three-star guy, but when you look at the context of him coming in with Aaron Green and Braylon Hurd, and if you would say rank order those guys, probably would have been Aaron Green, Braylon Hurd, and Amir Abdullah, who was the guy that ended up being a Heisman candidate. And I know Aaron Green did some good things with TCU, and I see that Braylon Hurd opted out of his senior year. He was going to declare for the draft after playing at Kentucky, but the guys need to get here first and show what they can do, and that's I come in late on the recruiting thing, but I did know about Barnett because you know, he came from Lawton, Oklahoma, as did Mike Minner, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good from that standpoint. But now you got the wrong guy. You need to get Sean Callahan talking about those recruits. He'll give you all the inside dope on that.
We got him jumping right in there. But long snapper Jordan Ober, receiver Lavon Alston, who Coach Riley was trying to get to Oregon State beforehand, defensive end Alex Davis, Antonio Reed listed as an athlete. They all commit. Wyatt Mazura is going to walk on, maybe one of the, well, he is one of the best athletes in the state, was the All-State quarterback, all-class from some publications last year. So he's going to walk on. Last year we kind of knew about 15 walk-ons. Really, this is the first one that has been publicized is Mazura, and National Letter of Intent signing day is set for Wednesday. So we're ready for that. We're ready to get on to the next level. And, Mike, I know we had you on the roundtable a month ago, but there hasn't been a whole lot of news outside of this recruiting trail. But any other tidbits on the Husker front, especially from Coach Riley, that you've noticed here in the last month?
Well, no, I've just really been impressed with what, you know, there's not this sense of entitlement among these coaches. I think they're genuine. It's really impressive. I felt like to talk to these guys. Now, again, obviously, as I've said before, I'd recounted that Devaney story. You know, when Bob came here, he said Clarence Swanson, one of the regents, came up to him and assured him, you know, Bob, we're behind you, whether you win or tie, and you know, that's what's going to be that's what's going to be the deciding factor in how you evaluate these guys. You know, whether they can win, whether they're successful there. But certainly, they've done a great job with recruiting. Because a lot of times you figure the recruiting classes are going to fall apart. You know, you're not going to be able to retain guys. So much is you're coming in late on a lot of guys. And I think that this staff has probably sort of been the opposite of that. I think this is going to be a really good recruiting class for Nebraska. And, again, as near as I can tell, because I always pay attention on the periphery. But I do. That's the thing, I guess, that's been impressive to me is just the character of the guys that have come in here and how hard they've worked and what it looks like they're going to have for a recruiting class.
Well, Mike, always appreciate getting the historical knowledge from you and just talking Huskers anytime. So I was in Lincoln yesterday. It was a long drive home, so I know you're probably still digging out yourself.
Yeah, I'm not big on shoveling anymore. I used to be, but I probably got to go do that now again, it looks like.
Tell the guys on the payroll to get over there. Mike, take care, buddy.
All right. Thanks. Good talking to you guys.
Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, joining us here. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. When we talk Husker football, we also talk T&L Irrigation Systems, the major manufacturer of hydraulic-powered pivot systems that undergo thousands of hours of product research and testing for quality and performance to make sure you have the best in your field. Unlike the stop-and-go action of electric models, each tower on a T&L system moves continuously. It's especially beneficial on low-pressure systems where uniform water application critical for those irrigation-applied fertilizer, herbicides, and pesticides. Chances of a T&L tower getting stuck are reduced because of the improved traction that continuous movement provides on wet, rough terrain. Find out more by visiting your local T&L dealer or go to TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems, letting it grow at T&L. We will be back. Talk to Bailey Morris, the all-time leading scorer at Concordia, and a whole lot more on the Super Bowl after this.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see breaks of sun and some developing cloud cover across the area today with a high of about 32. Wednesday out of the west, southwest, 10 to 15. Tonight with partly cloudy skies, we'll drop off to 17. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Right now, it's 12.
Take me home tonight. Listen, honey, just like Runnerside.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A lot of places say they are sports bars and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop, where a lot of people were watching the Super Bowl yesterday. And you know what? If you want to go back and have a little lunch or hang out with your friends, coworkers, family tonight and rehash the game, they are there for you. You can enjoy one of their great pizzas. How about a home-style burger? And of course, the many, many wing selections that are there for you. And there's a kids menu for the little ones as well. Best television sports viewing with all of your favorite sports packages, NBA, NHL, college hoops going on tonight. Check it out at the Chicken Coop, of course, not to mention their ice-cold beverages. And if you need room to accommodate large groups, they offer their convenient party area as well. Stop in today at the Kearney Chicken Coop. Well, last week we knew it was coming. It happened on Wednesday, and then they whisked Concordia away to Michigan to play a little basketball. And, Jimmy, you probably got a chance to officiate some of her games in high school. I know I definitely got a chance to broadcast some of Bailey Morris's games, whether it was at Silver Lake or winning titles or getting to Sandy Creek, whatever the case may be. And she is now the all-time leading scorer and added to that over the weekend at Concordia. And, Bailey, Doug Duda, Jim Langan here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, and, hey, congratulations.
Hey, thank you.
Great to have you on the program, and I want to start with what just happened. You guys go up there and beat up on a bunch of Concordia teams again this weekend. You kind of own that tournament, don't you?
Yeah, we've won the majority of the titles. It's just a fun atmosphere heading up there, and just the camaraderie between the Concordia teams is it's always a pretty fun experience.
You guys have, I mean, during your career, Concordia has had great basketball team after great basketball team, but this one this year, the only loss is to number one. What makes this year's team even better than maybe the last couple seasons for you?
I would just say we've played a lot of games together. Our senior class is pretty big. Also, a big part of it, I think, is we haven't been plagued by injuries as we have the past couple of years. That's kind of been a huge part of our success this year. So I'm just kind of thankful for that. And we mesh well together, and we're playing hard and staying focused till the end of the season.
Bailey, Jim Langan here. I was going to ask you this. Can you remember a game that you had in college or high school where it went right down to the wire, you had the ball, and luckily you put it up, and you thought, oh boy, I hope that baby goes in?
And it went in?
Yeah. I always remember the ones I missed, but I missed tons of them too.
I can remember a couple I missed. I don't think I've ever had one that's been a last-second shot. I would say last year the Northwestern game was probably – that was just, you know, the whole game. I kind of knocked down some shots in that game. But I don't think I've ever had a last-second one where the ball's been in my hands that's gone in.
Talking with Bailey Morris here on the Doug and Daddy Show, played her high school ball at Silver Lake and Sandy Creek, and got a chance to visit the beautiful facility at Concordia on Thursday for that Kearney Catholic Guardian Angels game. It's nice to have a nice facility to play in too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I think that that was about 2 years old when I came here. But you know, they've done a great job with that, and it's been a great place to play. It's always been a great atmosphere. It's a really fun environment to play in.
Concordia is 23-1 on the season. As we mentioned, the only loss to Morningside way back before Christmas when conference play got going, and a couple more games coming up in the near future. But let's talk about the record for a minute here, Bailey. It's one of those things you know is coming. If you break the single-game record, you never know what night it's going to happen. But a career mark, you knew you were sneaking up on it. What was it like as you got closer and closer and then able to break it before you hit the road?
I knew how much I needed coming into the game, but at Dome, they don't have a point tracker next to the scoreboard. So throughout the game, I wasn't really sure where I was at. And that was actually a really close game between us and Dome. So it was kind of hard to think about the scoring record when we were, you know, just trying to win a ball game. But it was, you know, it's kind of a crazy feeling. I was just glad I was able to, you know, celebrate it with my teammates and coaches, because, you know, without them, there's no way I'd even break it. So, it was a good feeling.
Hey, name some of the players on your team here, or some of the players in high school or whatever you had that you remember that they definitely were great assist players and, you know, found you when you didn't even know you were open.
Well, that's actually kind of funny you ask that. In high school, I wouldn't say scoring was my main role. I honestly would say that I was probably that assist player. You know, I had players like Carrie Ann and Michaela Shaw, Cammie Bruckman when I was at Silver Lake, Ashley Harms too when I was at Sand Creek. They were kind of our main scorers. I'd score on breakaway layups or, you know, get to the foul line a few times, but you know, scoring wasn't my main role until I came to college, and Coach Olson pushed me to be that scorer. So I'd call myself that assist player, I guess, but I've played with some great teammates. Here, just our senior class has been great to play with. And coach is great at drawing up plays and getting the bucket when we need one. So,
We're talking with Bailey Morris for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Now Concordia's all-time leading scorer. It'll be tough for anybody to get that in the very near future. Obviously, a lot of Nebraska kids on all the NAIA schools, all the GPAC schools, mm-hmm. We should say. Bailey, not a ton of them are right in our backyard here, but I saw Jerrica Pearson out of Gibbon. A lot of people mm-hmm. around here remember her. She had a good game against Doan. Just give us a little insight on how her season's been going.
Oh, it's been going great. You know, I'm really glad she's been healthy this season. She kind of suffered a knee injury last year that hurt us, but she's come back strong this year. She's she plays really hard. She can get rebounds when we need one. She's always making those hustle plays, and so it's been nice getting to know her over the past 4 years, because I only played her once in high school, but I kind of knew who she was. So that's been fun. But yeah, she's definitely somebody you want on your team. She plays harder than a lot of players do out there. So it's been nice playing with her.
Wednesday and Saturday, and probably the home game in the GPAC quarterfinals, but all the hoopla obviously will take place this week. How about the last couple of games on your home court here as the career starts to wind down at Concordia? Your thoughts on that?
That's going to be kind of bittersweet. I'm not sure if I'm quite ready for it to end, but, we've got a couple of big games here. I think we've got Nebraska Wesleyan and Dakota Wesleyan coming up. It's playing at Concordia has been a great experience. I've met a lot of great people, and, especially the senior class, there's six of us, and, you know, we've been playing together since, you know, freshman year. We've seen a lot of playing time on the court together, and, I think I'm really going to miss playing with them, and just the relationships we've made with our other coaches and teammates. And, I'm just trying to enjoy every little second of it while I can.
And Bailey, I'm guessing, with Morningside being the last regular season game, so much season in between the two meetings, this probably keeps the interest of the team, no matter how many games in a row you guys have won, is that they're still out there on your schedule.
Yeah, that's kind of in the back of our mind. We obviously know we have to go up there to Sioux City and play them for our last regular season game. But you know, this is cliche, I know it, but, you know, we're taking it one game at a time. Our theme this year is just to enjoy the journey. We're trying not to look back at too many games. We look forward to, you know, too much because we've got games to focus on right now. So, you know, obviously we know we've got to play them, and we'll get there eventually. But right now our focus is on our next game on Wednesday. So, but you know, we look forward to seeing them up in Sioux City, and, you know, whatever happens, happens.
I'll tell you what, the interesting thing about the GPAC, always so strong in women's basketball, they may see Morningside three times in a month, regular season, conference, and at the national tournament. So, Bailey, after you guys win the national title next month, what's in your future? What are you going to do?
You know, that's a great goal we've got set there. I'm honestly not sure yet. I'm trying to figure that out. I'll be getting my degree in sports management. So I think I'm going to hold off getting my master's right after that. And then I don't know. Well, you know, I've been talking about looking into a Euro League or something. But, you know, I'm not quite sure if I can give up basketball yet. So we'll see what happens. I'm not quite sure yet.
Yeah, play it while you can. Play it while you can, girl. Keep up the good work. Hey, Bailey, we'll let you get back and hopefully probably go out and do some ice skating today. You guys got class today, or did you get called off?
We've had a few classes canceled. We have some professors that live in Lincoln, but if their professor can get to class, they have class, so just got to check your emails for it.
Well, Bailey, we'll let you get back to your day. Best of luck the rest of this month, and hopefully we can chat again. Congratulations on not just the record, but doing well your all 4 years there at Concordia.
All right, thanks. We appreciate it.
Take care. Bailey Morris joining us here. Always great to catch up with any of the athletes, especially the ones you got to see as they grew up. And as she said, Jimmy, you know, she doesn't hold a lot of the scoring records in the high school ranks. That's kind of unusual going on to college and breaking a scoring record when you weren't that big of a scorer back in your high school days.
Well, you know, Sandy Creek, I don't know, Doug, you'll have to look it up, but they won like six straight titles or something like that in girls basketball. I mean, they just went to state all the time and had a tremendous amount of wins. And a consecutive wins, too. So when she got there, they would already had some players in place that were averaging about 15 to 18 points. They had plenty of scores. What they needed was somebody that could distribute the ball. So, you know, she did her role. And like, you know, Sandy Creek, the press worked so well, there was a lot of layups, too. You know, it wasn't like they did a lot of you know, their transition game was way more important than their set offense. But, you know, they won some state championships, and she was a big part of that 1 year. So then she went on to college, and now, you know, she's going to have to be a scorer. So your roles change, you know, and that's sometimes that's what happens in athletics. And you know, like LeBron James, you know, I'll tell you the truth. You know, there's times where when he's got to be a scorer and he just takes over the game, says, I'm going to be taking the ball now. Looks like I'm going to be the guy taking the ball. And there's other times he's a distributor. So a lot of players can't do both. You know, they only got one role they can do to help their team win. But evidently she's got a few things she can do, yes.
Well, and she was probably – and I think Coach Crow, who's now stepped down, retired from coaching over there at Silver Lake, he would say that those were their best teams. They had a heck of a run there while she was part of that team. So congratulations to her. Last year, let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. On a day like this, they just kind of set it outside. You know, who needs the cooler? Just set it outside. Yeah. We asked you, will both the Giants and Royals make it to the World Series? Because we tried to warm it up a little bit over the weekend, and nobody thinks that they both will.
Zero people.
Yeah, zero people. Well, obviously, they're not fans of the Giants because we all know the Royals will be back.
There you go.
Did the Seahawks make the right play call on the interception yesterday, their final offensive play call? We're going to give you the chance to vote at ESPNSuperStation.com. Did the Seahawks make the right play call in yesterday's Super Bowl by throwing the ball instead of running the football? Right, wrong, it looks terrible. I'll be in the minority. I'll say yes, that's fine. They thought they had the right matchup there. I know it hurts if you're a Seattle fan. You vote now, ESPNSuperStation.com, on our Midtown Mart cooler question. You got a vote there? Yes,
well,
no?
Well, I think, you know, that's a third or fourth down play. I mean, when you're at second down, I mean, every quarterback, like I said, if the play's wide open, you know, you there it is. If it's not wide open, don't force the ball. And I mean,
do you think he forced it? I don't think he forced it, but I think from what you're saying, you think he forced it. Because my point is, it's such a quick play. I don't even know if you. I mean, you get that, and it looked like he's open. The guy comes over his back through him. Did you think he forced it, though?
Well, the reason I think he forced it, the reason I think the play was forced, it wasn't open. And that play easily is a play where that ball can be ricocheted in the air, and 10 guys could have a chance at catching it.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, I mean, you've got offensive linemen, and that's what I'm talking about. I was surprised the guy caught the ball, the defensive back, as hard as that was thrown. You know, that was a great catch that he and you talk about the impact he took from the offensive player. Those guys both hit really hard at the same time. So I don't like the play when you throw it and just fire it in there, Doug. I mean, that, how would you like to referee a basketball pass like that? Let's say it was a basketball play. Let's just be honest. You have 35 seconds to run a basketball play, and the defense breaks in on that and throws it. Okay, is that a foul? You're going to call a foul on one of those two guys, or is that a steal and we just move on? There's a lot of contact. So that's why I say it was forced. I'm just saying that was a forced play. He tried to force it in there. And on fourth down, that's a great play. On fourth down, you got to force it in there. But, you know, on second down, you don't have to force. You can throw that thing. And a lot of quarterbacks throw that thing in row 15. And he had thrown an interception all day. He had a great game.
We'll take a break. Be back with more after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
It's the look in their eyes, the smile on their lips, and the big hug you get when you make your Valentine feel extra special with a Valentine's Day gift from Bob Sass Flowers. Hi, this is Dave from Bob Sass Flowers. Let us clue you into some of the latest Valentine's Day trends in gorgeous roses, colorful cut flowers, and unique gifts. But you'll see more when you visit our store, Bob Sass Flowers, 2618 West 2nd in Hastings, open Monday through Saturday. Order by phone at 402-462-2179.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you. And always here at chsagra.com.
Holden, you haven't moved in hours.
I know. I need to exercise, but I don't have the motivation.
It's not like you have to run 10 miles or do 1,000 push-ups. All it takes is some physical activity. A short walk, a bike ride, or some disc golf.
That's it?
Just 30 minutes a day will add years to your life.
Wow. I can find that much time every day to be active. It might even be kind of fun.
For more information and helpful resources, check out ActivateBuffaloCounty.com, powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Lagan with you. Where all the schools are pretty much out today or had a late start, so hope you're enjoying your day and being safe. I want to finish off with the Super Bowl, but a couple of notes first. And I had not heard this, so Stu Pospisil had put a little column up over the weekend. When it comes to wrestling, I remember starting to cover wrestling before I ever moved to Kearney, and we've been fortunate enough to receive a lot of awards and love covering the sport. But before I ever moved here, some of my favorite times was when I worked in Ord and Burwell was very good and Sargent was very good, and you would run across to some of the people that we met from a little bit farther west. And a Hall of Famer, one of those guys was Dan Brost from Mullen, and cancer has claimed him at the young age of 57. He's a Hall of Famer. Matt Rogers, the wrestling coach at Kearney Catholic. Off the top of my head, I can't remember them all, but obviously he wrestled for him. Eddie Aarons didn't wrestle for him, but part of that great Mullen family from over at Elwood.
Mike Quanvig, who's now the principal at Mullen, wrestling for.
Yep. Yeah, they had so many outstanding teams, won state championships. He was diagnosed a couple of years ago, and his funeral coming up in Mullen. They won five state titles between 85 and 94, and I always got a chance to talk. They were always winning the ones I was covering for those teams, and so it was a great chance to talk to him. And so just our thoughts to the Mullen family there, wrestling family, and our condolences out to the Bros as well. Jimmy, I got some news for you.
Husker bowling, how'd they do?
The top-rated Nebraska women's bowling team got back to their winning ways at the Prairie View A&M Invitational in Dallas Sunday afternoon as they beat Farley Dickinson 4-3. That's taking it to the wire. You can't go any farther. Seven games, somebody gets four, somebody gets three. That's the way it is. The tournament victory continues Nebraska's dominance in Dallas as they have won three consecutive Prairie View A&M Invitational championships. The women's bowling team will take a full week off of competition now to rest those arms, to wash those braces, you know, to restock everything that they need. And then it's back to Texas for the Stephen F. Austin Invitational in Houston, February 13th through the 15th. And I've got more. The Hastings College Bronco Challenge was held over the weekend. The men's bowling team finished third. Evan Pitt finished third individually. The women's bowling team was paced by Harmony Tren for Hastings College. So, congratulations.
Now, the was that on Sunday? Was that on Sunday? Did they finish
they
that?
They got done, yeah.
They got done on Sunday?
They got done.
You know, I wonder...
Traveling hurts them. Traveling hurts them.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing of it is, too, I think the Super Bowl hurt them a little bit because a lot of people were watching that, you know, on TV and probably took a little of the TV ratings away from them.
Back to the Super Bowl. Did you watch halftime? Are you one of those that watch halftime?
Yeah,
I liked it. I don't, you know, that Katy Perry thing's supposed to be way younger than us. She just seems like a cool cat that is a little quirky and yet seems to be overly nice when she needs to be, and I thought it was a I thought everything they did with yesterday, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I was just in a good mood yesterday. After driving 4 hours and not wrecking the vehicle on the way home from Lincoln, I guess you should be in a good mood. But I like the ads, most of them. Love the halftime, and I thought it's going to be hard to continually have a halftime show with someone that kind of pleases everyone, mm-hmm. and I think she probably did that.
Yeah, you know, she was riding a big lion there that started off. That was a big lion.
That's
big. And the next thing you know, they've got chess pieces running around.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of a heck of an idea.
How many people you think didn't know that that was chess?
I'm saying quite a few because I made a comment about the rook and somebody told me they didn't know what a rook was.
First year player, right?
Yeah, I'm about to take that guy on.
And you said the Doritos ad in the airplane was your favorite commercial.
I like the guy that was trying to get everybody not to sit by him because anybody, hey, if you're ever in a spot, Doug, no one wants to sit by me. I'm kind of a bigger guy. You know what I mean? They're going, oh, my. You know, it's nice to have somebody who weighs about 85 pounds, you know, sit right next to you, and you got plenty of leg room and et cetera. But, yeah, no one wants me to really sit by them, so I felt bad. I try to get in an airplane real early and get my seat and try not to go, hey, can you care if I sit between you two? You know, I don't like to do that.
Of course, and I guess it takes, if you saw some of them ahead of time, I guess it takes away. We already knew the Budweiser ad with the puppy on Friday. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. There were definitely some neat ones out there. And as they said, there was a couple, three that were focusing on the dad, the father. I guess those were all pretty cool as well. The Fiat with the Viagra pill, that was pretty funny too.
Yeah.
Where it bounces out of the poor guy's hands, last one he's gotten.
Yeah, but that was kind of a good little commercial. I like that.
Anything with some immaturity, always good, right?
Yeah, but you know, like somebody was sitting by told me, they go, they'd rather have the commercials that are funny and make you laugh, you know, some type of a comic instead of something that's, you know, that tries to make you, you know, think too much, I guess, during that. And it has a little bit of, you know, a tear in your eye after you get done watching.
GoDaddy definitely changed things up, too, when they pulled their ad. How about EA Sports? They run the simulation of the game now with Madden. Since they've been doing that, they are now 9-3, getting it right. Here's the video game that they just hit the button and said, "Play it out." The video game predicted that the final score would be New England 28, Seattle 24. The actual final score,
unbelievable,
28-24. The Madden simulation predicted that Tom Brady would be the MVP. and throw for 335 yards and four touchdowns. He threw for 328 yards and four touchdowns and was the MVP. It also said that New England would trail 24-14 in the third quarter and get the game-winning touchdown to Julian Edelman, which is exactly what happened in the real game. They had Edelman with eight catches for 106. He finished with nine catches for 109. I guess next year I just see what Madden says and go to Vegas.
There you go. That game. Hey, there were a lot of, if you really think about it, there were a lot of players that stepped up in that game that were pretty good players. You know, I mean, they did what they needed to do. I mean, I guess what I'm saying, Doug, is if they said, hey, this guy, Tom Brady's got to throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns, and you can bet the over and you win both bets. You know what I mean? Because he's not, you know. So everybody had nice games. I mean, it really was. It was a pretty good game. There were a lot of punts, you know, in the game. There were quite a few punts in the football game, too, you know, where the defenses did hold. There were times when they got in the red zone, there was a lot of touchdowns. Without, you know, they got in, you know, once they got inside the 40, there were a lot of touchdowns that were scored. But there were some three and outs and some just one first down. And then, so there were a lot of punts in that game, too.
Let's run down, because that's all the notes I had on the Super Bowl. But I know you'll have one more comment. I'll run down the rest of the weekend in sports and we'll get on out of here. We talked about the Nebraska additions, the 20 known commits now, and Wyatt Mazur as far as the walk on. Six more weeks of winter. Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow today, and Groundhog Day is on all day on AMC. So if you're home, you're stuck, and you want to watch Groundhog Day over and over, there it is. The Tri-City Storm, they were up by four goals and then let it get away, but they do win in a shootout, 5-4. Hard to make a comeback from that, but they do win it. They've now won eight in a row, and they're going to have to get their rest because they play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all on the road, Lincoln and two at Waterloo. They've made a trade to bring in defenseman Vince Pedry. He has 9 goals and 13 assists in 39 games with Bloomington. The Storm trade away defenseman Cameron Spicer, a affiliate player, and two draft picks. The Nebraska women, well, they got it done yesterday. It was something to listen to from time to time on the drive home. 50 points in the second half. The men can't score 50 in a game. The women score 50 in the second half yesterday in their third game of the week when they should have been their most tired, but they win it 75-60. And now tough for the women. They go out to nationally ranked Rutgers Thursday and off to Maryland on Sunday. Those are going to be two extremely tough games. The men are home against Northwestern tomorrow. I'm predicting it now. You don't score 44-42 and come home and have it. It's hurting these guys. I don't know what the spread is tomorrow. But Nebraska, and they keep saying, well, Northwestern's losing by 2, by 5, by 3. It's all going to say to take Northwestern. Don't do it.
You're going to think Nebraska might roll.
Do it. Yeah, that Nebraska's not happy.
You know, I'll tell you what, that Big Ten Conference is, the home team has had a tremendous amount of success. They really have.
Connor Baronic, for the third time this season, is the MIAA Men's Basketball Player of the Week. He had 33 points and 12 rebounds, but the Lopers came up 2 points short yesterday against Emporia, 74-72. It hurts because Emporia is not one of the top teams in the league, but they get the job done on their home court by two. Snaps the Lopers' 5-game winning streak. The women, they fall to the number 2 team in the country, 80-49. They travel to Fort Hays State on Thursday. The women are 6th in the country and probably move up this week. And then they're home against Washburn on Saturday. Hastings men fell 94-84 to Dort. The Hastings women win 66-49. Another one of those great young ladies from the Bailey Morris era, Jamie Van Kirk, goes over 1,000 points, and she hasn't even played two full seasons for Hastings College. And the baseball team, Lopers opened the season. They went 1-2, won the season opener, but then dropped the next two. Damon Day hopefully will be with us tomorrow to touch on that. Then they're off to Texas this weekend. And then in wrestling, Nebraska beat Northwestern and Indiana over the weekend. They'll head to Michigan and Michigan State this weekend. UNK wrestling went 1-1, losing at 9th-ranked Lindenwood and then beating Newman University. And finally, conference tournaments, the Lou Platt, the Twin Valley, and the Southern Nebraska tournaments have all been pushed to tomorrow. For the Lou Platt, they're playing the first round games tomorrow and the quarterfinals Wednesday. The Twin Valley and the Southern Nebraska are just moving everything from today and combining them for tomorrow. So that's everything I got. Jimmy, anything else?
Well, I think Anthony Pacheco hit a 2-run homer in game two, you know, in that loss that they had. He had a two-run.
Never heard of him.
Okay.
Love the Pacheco. Love the Pacheco. He's an All-American, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I was just joking. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I was just joking.
No,
I was just joking.
I didn't hurt you.
Because I know Mike, he's outstanding. Love those guys. They're great kids. You talk about kids. Now you've got me like I feel like I got to explain myself.
You don't have to do that.
Because he has really elevated his game in college.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a great high school player, you know, I mean, or Legion player, I guess I should say, in Carney's case, you know, played in the summer. But he had a two-run homer, and those were low-scoring games, too. I mean, I think the weather has a little bit to do with that. I mean, it was a pretty – I bet you it was a little cold.
5-3, 3-2, 6-2. Those are the scores of all the games. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. I thought it was a great Super Bowl.
It was.
Yeah. So
– good game.
If you want to join us tomorrow, we'd love to have you in. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Hall of Fame. We're going to have a little bit on the baseball. We'll be jumping more into the conference tournaments. It's hard to believe that the NFL season is over. Football's over, Jimmy. What are we going to talk about?
That'd be NBA and college basketball here pretty quick. Wrestling, high school wrestling. We've got a lot of things to talk about.
It's right around the corner. February always flies by in our profession because there's so much on the high school and college scene to talk about. Plus, Nebraska, Northwestern will play tomorrow night as well. We want to thank Bailey Morris, the Silver Lake and Sandy Creek graduate, and now Concordia's all-time leading women's basketball player, scoring-wise, for joining us. Also to Mike Babcock from Hale Varsity, talking Mick Tinglehoff, Will Shields going into the Hall of Fame. And Jimmy, have a great day, man. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, stay warm and get.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.
The roads clear. Get the roads clear.
Be safe, people. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show.